is in this room that I was ordained. Brother Houghton, you were on my ordination board. On that day, every important man in my life was present. My father was here. He's now gone. All three of my pastors were here. One of them's now gone. And Brother R. saw in me something that I didn't see in myself, and that was a man that God could use. I'm not very smart. I'm grateful for those words. But fellas, you know, I come to a place in life where maybe you have been too, where you're tired and wore out, and you just want to rest. Brother R., it was hard to say to you, I just want to rest. But the Holy Spirit convicts and says, you need to be instant, in season and out of season. The Holy Spirit tells you that you're mine. But Lord, I'm tired. I'm wore out. Tired of fighting the battle and getting told that you did it wrong. I did it God's way. How could that be wrong? I love my church folk. They love me. I love the Lord and He loves me. And I needed to hear these messages already this morning. Miss Decker and I were here. We're going to celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary this weekend. Just wanted to get away and spend some time. I say at home there's a pecking order. It's the grandkids first. Then it's the children. Used to be the dog, and then it was me. Dog's gone. I've moved up one. I don't get much attention from her much anymore, and I miss that. And then coming down here today was going to be a blessing to me. Never knew what a camp meeting was until we came to this church. And what's a camp meeting? Never knew that. We're up north, you can tell. That day, Brother R., he asked all the men to stand that ministered in churches, and I didn't feel that I was one that ministered in the church. I'm a hireling. I'm here to do whatever. I got to make him look good. That's my job. I was sitting back here, and he's, Brother Mike, you stand up. Yes, sir. Tell him who you are. I'm Mike Decker, and I'm the associate to the pastor's wife. That's what I said. Because I learned if you make the preacher's wife happy, you're going to be happy here too. And she reminds me, she's still my boss. But oh, how I miss those simple days of just learning. And when you've got to be the leader, those pressures come upon you. And it gets hard. Oh, I don't want to quit. Sharon says, you'd be the most miserable man in all the world. Yeah, I know. But I want some rest. You have a Bible? Job. Job chapter 5. A man is born, in verse number 7, unto trouble, as the spark fly upward. It wasn't long ago we had a camp meeting at our home, if you will. We invited all the people of our church over. We said, come on over Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, we'll start a fire in the backyard. cook some hot dogs for you. Once the hot dogs are done, you can come over and roast some marshmallows and have some s'mores. And I preached that evening just before we did all of that on this message, Help in Trial. For my people didn't know their preacher's hurting. I can't let them see that, right? Oh, how I learned that's wrong. They need to see you're just a man. And that is your God that gives you the strength. It is the service of the Lord that provides the nourishment that your soul needs. And so here, in Job chapter 5, we see in verse number 7, that verse. Man is born unto trouble. Affliction, that is. Trials, tribulations. As the spark flieth upward. Father, it is by your help today that I need you. Lord, I'm not loud. I'm not fast. I'm not slow. I'm just yours. And Lord, if there be a way somehow today that you'd take and speak to your people from your word and use this voice, these mannerisms, inflections of Father, please. They need to hear something from you just like I do once more. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Unless the law hath been my delight, I shall have perished in mine affliction, the psalmist said. Unless the law, this book right here, unless the law had been my delight. Gosh, I've gone on to Bible school. I learned in school what it was to teach and to preach and these doctrines that are here. Don't remember much of what the professors would tell you. I just remember applying what I learned. Just taking and learning it firsthand. Much like you are as a husband, you can read every book, you can listen to your pastor as they instruct you on what it is to be a husband. Like a father, you can listen to all the fathers. And let me tell you what it's like to be a father. You can go to preacher's school and they can tell you what it's like to be a preacher. But my friend, until you take that which you've learned and apply it to your life, you're not going to learn anymore. Unless the law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine afflictions, the psalmist said. Afflictions come, don't they? It's Psalms 34, verse 19 that tells me, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Lord, I read that. I see that. Many are the afflictions. They're here. It breaks my heart to come back to camp meeting and see the room not full. It makes me wonder, why, Lord? What's the world coming to? I remember the room being full, that first camp meeting, preacher after preacher, and it's like they're falling on the wayside. Yeah, we have all the right ingredients. They're all there, but what's going on? Could it be that there's many afflictions? I don't want to be one of those statistics of preachers that were in the ministry and are out. I got a wife that's proud of him. Got some kids and grandkids that are proud of their grandpa and dad. I've got a heavenly father that's proud of his child too. Man is born unto trouble. Afflictions are there. It says there, mine afflictions. I see they're personal. Yep, they're mine. They're all mine. Had some folk in my church commit some sins. There was gossip. There was even a death threat. An individual who wasn't a member of the church was attending and making some accusations and made some threats against the standing member of the church. And that threat went all the way to the point that he was going to hurt the individual. And I remember stepping in. Oh, what a mess. Satan's talons are deep. They're far. They go in places that I would never would have anticipated. But they were there. got with our head deacon and prayed. I said, what do we do? We got to confront them. Got to take care of these things. And one by one, little by little, over the course of 3 weeks, spoke to five different individuals. Sin was deep. I remember getting alone with God and saying, Lord, your church, your people, your ministries. Father, I don't know why these things are happening, but these afflictions are too great. Having a pastor's heart's a great thing, but it hurts. And then to have one of your sheep tell you you handled it wrong. As if I was the one that had done all the sin. You handled it wrong. I did. How did I handle it wrong? They couldn't tell you. All that was Satan's way of saying, look, you got me. I'm going to push it back on you. You handled it wrong. Many are the afflictions I find in mine. It says that they fly up like sparks. I remember that campfire. I shared with the folk. I told them, listen, look at that fire. Look right there. There's a little spark. What does it do? It flies. It's high. Sometimes they last a long time. They fly upward. I can only imagine Job. He's there at a campfire one night. Many are the afflictions. He's lost his family. He's lost all of his wealth, his cattle. He's losing his name. And he's thinking, many are mine afflictions. Man born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. One thing about a spark, when it flies upward, it makes you look at your God in heaven. Those troubles make you look to heaven. There it goes. See that bright light? There's going to be more, but there's coming a bright light that you're going to follow one day. It's going to lead you all the way. They're mine afflictions. They're personal. I don't know what you're going through right now. I told my folk, I don't know what you're going through right now. But I couldn't tell them what I was going through. I can say it here. The only one that knows is my wife. She was there. The Lord was there. But you know, you can't tell your people sometime. Brother R., maybe I do need this to get this off my chest. Amen. Cry out to the Lord and you pray. It says there in Psalms 119, verse 92, it says, I should have perished in mine affliction. I should have perished. They're not trivial. Those afflictions come on purpose. They're not trivial. They're there for a reason. They're there to grow you. They're there for a purpose to help and assist you. Yes, I know that, Lord. I understand that, but I don't want any more. You're going to get more. The drunkards, the druggies, and others, they look toward crutches. They lean on those things that are crutches. Just to get through their troubles. And if a pastor, if a man of God is not careful, he'll look to those crutches in this world too, just to get through. And it's in those moments, those times, if there's anything I've learned in these last couple of months, if there's anything I've learned, I need to put aside those worldly crutches and rest wholly and completely on my Lord. These are difficult times. There's a defense here. It says, look in Psalms 119. Turn there with me, would you please? Psalms 119, verse 92. I know I told you Job, but I want to look at Psalms 119. Verse 92. Unless the law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine afflictions. Did you see that? The best way to deal with afflictions is through the Word of God. It's a prerequisite to these times that we have as a defense mechanism. If you're not careful, my friend, you're going to use the crutches of the world. You're going to find whatever those crutches are, they're going to come to you. You're just a man just like any other man. You're just a woman just like any other woman. You too can succumb to the crutches that the world wants to give. A prerequisite. I know many people don't care about the Bible anymore. We do have the Oprahs. We do have the Smilers from Houston. But you know, I've got some of those just in my neighborhoods.
Yes, sir.
Good Baptist churches one day. In times past, they're falling by the wayside. Got pastors that look into the crutches of the world. My goodness, there's a church in my own town. Strong church one at one point. A church that my home church would compete against with school bus ministries. We'd have 18 different buses going out. Both churches, 18 different buses going out. 1,000 people coming in. Back at a time when revivals was happening across our nation, across our world, really. Individuals joining and going into mission fields that were all now open and all of these things. And now here, all of a sudden, there's these churches. This one particular church north of my town. Strong church one day, but not anymore. They've fallen to the world's crutches. Abandoned the Word of God. So much so, they've canceled Sunday school. They only have one service in the morning. They 1,000 people one time, they're down to less than 130 on Sunday morning. They don't even have Sunday evening service. They don't have Wednesday evening service. They're going to these little home meetings now. It's what the new people want. They don't realize what they need.
Right.
And there's our little church, and I feel oppressed at times. I'm preaching the truth. We've got all the ingredients. I needed that stirring this morning, this afternoon. Seems like many folk have a little love for the Scriptures anymore. Lord, keep me close to this book. I want you to keep me close to this book. There's times when my heart is many afflictions, many troubles. Complain, say it's boring, it's uninteresting. Oh, I find it joyful. I find it exactly what I need at my time of need. It's there. It's never been at fault. It's always proven itself worthy. It's me that's been at fault. It's me that's been unworthy. I want to take this and apply it. It's the power. There's power in there. Power in the Word. Look what it says right there in verse 119, verse 92. Unless thy law is my delights, there's power in there. God's Word has created a delight. There's something there. There's something I need. How am I able to defend the things of this world? It's going to only be through the Word of God. There's no words today of man that can do it. We know that. It's only this book. God's Word is so powerful, it was able to create the universe, as our brother said. Create everything. And He's given us His Word. And we hold it. It's dear and precious. God's Word helped the psalmist in his time of sanity or insanity, however you want to look at it. God's Word helped Job, in time of mine affliction, my trouble is a spark. It's a rock, it's an anchor. I know those things, Lord. But I'm tired. There's a story that's told of a man named John Bunyan. Talk about a man of afflictions. He's in a Bedford jail. He's imprisoned because he preached the Word of God. He's not been able to support his wife. It's his wife that needs him. It's his child that needs him. And he's not able to take care of anything. He's in jail. He's been imprisoned. How are they going to be taken care of? All John Bunyan had was his Bible. That's all he had. And yet nobody could take that away. And even if they did, he'd still memorize it. How can they take his memory away? He knows it. It's ingrained in him. It's there. God's Word is powerful. Took his tattered testament away from him. Those haters of God. Stole away his joy. But you know, it was the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful God didn't leave me completely alone. Yes, he's given me a church. Yes, he has given me his word, but even more so, he's given me himself. He's living right here. And John Bunyan, all by himself in that little Bedford jail prison cell, began to write a story about his life, his understandings. Those haters of God took his word and didn't take away a character in his heart named Christian. It's from those afflictions, those little fires that kind of run up through life, that we got a story known as the Pilgrim's Progress. Christian and Pliable and Mr. Greenheart and Madam Bubble. Atheist and Mr. Worldly Wise, Giant Despair and Mr. Valiant for Truth, all of these characters that came to life really on the pages of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. There are, I appreciate your kind words to me about me. Sir, without my Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm nothing, and yet you were so kind to say those things. But sir, I'm not worthy of anything except that which God has given me. God's word protected him from despair. That's Job. God's word protected the psalmist from despair. God's word kept John Bunyan from despair. If God can do it for them, I know he'll do it for me. And he'll do it for you. Though you may not be locked in a prison cell, you may be locked in the prisons of your heart, wondering, what else do you have? Beloved, you know what you've got. You've got a great church, your churches that you pastor, perhaps. You've got a great word, but you've got a great Savior. Chose to save you from your sin, your troubles, and he lives within your heart. He is alive, he is well, and he is doing exactly what he needs to do in your life. In that book of Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan talked about a sloth of despair. That's one of Satan's goals, is to get you there. But my friend, you're above that. You're beyond that. You're not there. For you are set in the heavenlies already. That which was once you were condemned, you are now made alive. You're already there. You're not in that sloth of despond. You are Jesus's. You are his. So though you may be a man or a woman born in trouble, affliction, and though you recognize that his law is your delight, you've got that Holy Spirit, and if you don't hold on to it, oh my friend, you'll find yourself in that sloth of despond where Satan wants to keep you. our coming here was on purpose. This is home in so many ways. This morning we drove through town, making those memories. Remember this? Remember that? Yeah. I remember this altar right here. Brother Art, was that altar right there on that Sunday morning. I came forward knowing that God was calling me away from here. I'd much rather be under your umbrella than to have to hold one up myself. But I praise the Lord. Yeah, I didn't need to preach today, but I needed to preach today. And I thank you. For I sense that spark is flying a little higher than it was when I first came. Father, Lord, I pray your blessings upon this, your church, your people, your man. And in this room are your men and their wives. They each have their own flock. They've been hurt. They've been trampled upon. They've been beaten up, spit out. They recognize the afflictions they've incurred. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just grab them hard, fly them high, and use them for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for this man and his family. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.